Hebrews chapter 11. Let's get this on and like it. What God has for us tonight in the Word of God. It's going to be fun. Hebrews chapter 11. And so much we could say. But we'll just get it started. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And so tonight, of course, I want to talk to you about this walk of faith. And I think it's just going to really encourage you as we go along in it and just see how far we can get. But before I get into this, I want you to notice a little word, and I'm going to emphasize it. I'm going to read the verse again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." So that word hope, I just think that's a great word, isn't it? Yeah. And I just look around and that's what our world needs. They need hope. And so many people don't have it today. And so I want you to notice how it's used in regards to the word faith. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hope for." So it seems as though these two words are akin that you're seeing in scriptures. In fact, there's another word that's going to go right in between those two, and it's called patience. So if you look throughout the Bible and you'll see in those words faith or hope, within that scope of verses that you're going to look at, you're always going to find a word patience. And so it goes faith, patience, hope. And kind of in that order, and you'd see that as you kind of go along in the Word of God. And so it's kind of like a pattern that you discover throughout the Word of God by which God relates to man and man relates to God. So throughout the Word of God, we're going to see that again and again. Faith, patience, hope. So we're going to read about God promising things. That's faith. And then you're going to read about God promising things and challenging men to live in light of those promises. And that's patience. And then waiting for the fulfillment of those things to come to pass. That's hope. And so I think you'll see it as we kind of go along in it tonight. But faith is just simply believing what God has said and the promises that he's given. And hope is patiently waiting for it to come to pass. And so here in the context, we see all these things come into play with these Hebrew Christians. I don't know if you went through the book of Hebrews, but it's a wonderful book. I mean, just a great book. And so right away, when you come to understand who he's writing to, these Hebrew Christians, they were going through it. And they were going through some very tough times. They've been going through some hard times. And these Christians were looking at what was coming upon them. They were being tempted to leave Christ and go back to their former state, to go back underneath the law. So Paul's writing them to encourage them, to exhort them, to tell them to continue in Christ, that he's better. He's better than everything they had in their former religion, better than what they had in Judaism, better than the law. And so he's just really encouraging them. And I don't know about you, but there's many people that I've talked to in life, just as a way of, I guess, a small application, it might not fit in too well. But, you know, they come to the faith, they see the reality of what God's done, they get excited, and it's not too long, they kind of just start fading away, and then they start going back. And I've talked to even some guys who are kind of Catholic, and they've come to the faith, they've come to see Christ, they've understood what God's done, and it's not too long I've seen them kind of just push themselves back into a Catholic church, you know? And so it's just something that baffles me a little bit, but it's something in which people are tempted. And so we're kind of jumping in the middle of this, but Paul's encouraging them, no doubt about it, to go forward, to not neglect so great of a salvation, to hold fast, to continue in the faith. And this is what he says in chapter 10, verse 32. We'll get a running start at this. "But call to remembrance the former days," he says. And so look at that word, former days. He's going to talk about when they first got saved. Do you remember when you first got saved? He's calling them back to that time when they first got saved. And he says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated." So that word illuminated is when understanding or light dawned on them. He says, called to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. And so afflictions, that's persecutions, that's troubles, that's difficulties that came upon them for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're probably one of the only nations even today that you can just openly believe and confess Christ and you can be baptized and there would be no repercussions. But even other foreign countries today, if you do that outwardly and you go out there and you confess Christ and it could cost you your life. I mean, certainly you can get in a lot of trouble with these things. And so he goes on to say this in verse 33, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used, for you had compassion of me in your bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. So he said, you endured a great fight of afflictions. That's persecution. He said, you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. But he said that they was able to make it through, if you look at the end of verse 34, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Isn't that beautiful? So Paul's kind of encouraging them there. I think it was Paul, by the way, and I think there's a number of reasons, but we're not even going to go there. If you don't believe that, that's fine with me. Look it up, study it on your own. But let me be an encouragement to you tonight where, you know, what the Bible says, what it says, and I can point that out. But so if you hear me say that, don't get upset. I was preaching at the mission. Every time I said Ecclesiastes, one of the guys got so angry at me because I said it wrong. And they always find one little thing, and it's like, hey, just forget, take the good, throw out the bad, you know. But so Paul's encouraging them. He's in bonds. He was going through it as well, and they're identifying with him all that he's going through, and they themselves are going through. And Paul says, you took it joyfully. Why? Knowing in yourselves, he says, that you have in heaven a more enduring substance. That's how faith works. And it causes us to know something. Now, do you understand what the word substance is? And the substance, it's the thing. It's the object. It's the matter. It's the material. And so, like Abraham, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose maker is God, the Bible says. So that's not a state of mind. And that's not an emotion. That's a substance. That's real. And he was looking for it. He was walking along the land of Israel, anticipating to see the city one day. And we'll talk about that. But I'm looking for it too, you know. I'm looking forward to this better and enduring substance, aren't you? He says in verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So, he's talking about not casting away their confidence or their faith that they had in Jesus Christ and the promises that were in him. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense. And that's the return of the reward. So he's talking to him again, and he's coming back to this point of encouragement. He's saying, look, don't throw away your confidence in Christ. And don't go back to Judaism. You're going to be rewarded for your faith in the end. And now you can see the hope in that, right? I mean, just believe. Keep on believing. Keep on looking. Look what he says in verse 36. For ye have need of patience. I told you that a word would come up. And he says, you have need of patience. You need to be patient. You need to endure in this. You know, there's just some things that life gets tough and you're being a Christian. It just seems like it's, and I'm done with this. Some people, you know, they just come to the point where they just feel like, okay, I'm through. And you know what? No, you got to continue on. You got to continue on walking with Christ, continue on believing. And you need to endure in the faith. Why? That you might receive the promise, he says. And now he's going to give the promise to him. He says this, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that beautiful? You know who he's talking about. He's talking about Jesus. And so he's encouraging them. And he's saying, man, he's not left us. He's not left us. He's coming again. And he's encouraging them to this end. And he's given us his word and that we can trust him. That he said he was going to come, is going to come. And we can trust him. We can trust his character. He has integrity. He has the means. He has the wealth. He has the strength. He's got it all. He's got everything it takes. And we know from his past performance that he can do exactly like he said he could do. And on this grounds, he staked his reputation on it. And so it's just really neat how you're kind of seeing that. And so this is what gets us through the rough times. This is what's going to get us through the temptations. And we know what he says is true. And we know that he's coming again. He says, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And he said, I'll surely come again to receive you unto myself. So, I mean, this is what he said. And so now they've been waiting for some time now. And Christ is risen. He's ascended. He's been gone. They've been looking for his appearing. He's not showed up. Things have getting tough. They've been difficult. They're getting now tempted. Some people are being pulled away from their families, all because of the faith. And Paul's saying, look, just hang in there. And so sometimes it's hard because we've been promised by so many things by so many people. And those promises haven't come true. Because sometimes we'll even say, and I'll say as a father, you know, hey, I'm going to do this for you. But, you know, in the end, it's like, you know, I don't have the means. I don't have the strength. My health goes and I can't fulfill. That's not the Lord. That's not him. And so God's unlike man. He has the ability to keep his promises. He's not a liar. And it seems like he's tarrying, but he's not. And the Bible says he's coming again. And we need to get busy. And we need to stay strong in the faith. Because when he comes, he's going to bring his rewards with him. And so he says in verse 38, he says, now the just shall live by faith. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So you see what he's saying. What he's saying is God's rule of life. God's rule, his program for our life, or the contests in which he wants us to live, that he's designed us to live, is to be in a pool of faith. He says the just shall live by faith. Someone described it as a fish in a bowl of water. You know? I mean, you take out the fish out of the bowl of water and it's going to die. And so God's put us in a bowl of faith. And that's where we must live. That's where we're going to grow. That's where we're going to be perfected in this life. And we're going to come to great rewards. So God's designed it that the justified, would live in faith. And he's going to describe what that looks like in the next chapter. And so, but he's just telling us this is how we're to live. This is how we're to live our life. And that without faith, he's going to say in verse 6, it's impossible to please him. And so he says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So God says, if you draw back from this faith, notice it's not righteousness. It's not what he's talking about. It's faith. He says, you draw back from faith, not the law, but from faith. He says, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. And so those are some strong words. Listen to what he says, though, as he backs it right back up. He turns right back over. He says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. Isn't that awesome? So, I mean, he turns around and he encourages us right away. He ensures us right away that we're not of that crowd. And so concerning those who do draw back, we're not of them. We're of those who believe, and we're of those who keep believing, endure, and not cast away our confidence, and those who stay in Jesus Christ, looking for his coming to the saving of the soul. So our believing in Christ, our faith in his promise he's given us, is going to do something in our souls. Something that this world can't do, something that religion could never do, that all philosophy and science and psychology could never do, the Bible says it's going to save us. And so why you see why it's kind of important to know what he's talking about. He says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So he says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Beautiful. So we hope for something. In other words, we have a certain expectation of something. And it's an anticipation of that which is going to come about. And of course, when we use it, today, that word hope, we kind of use it in a different way. You know, something like this, I hope it doesn't rain.
No.
Or we'll say, man, I hope I get that promotion. or we'll say something like, I hope we go on vacation. Or maybe it's, I hope that if you would be in school waiting on a bus like I did many times in the rain, I hope the bus comes soon. And it's not necessarily the way the Bible uses it. The kind of hope the world has is a wishing. It's not a certainty. Bible hope is always a certainty. There's no doubt about it. And so it's a certain expectation when the Bible uses the word hope. It's not baseless. It's not wishful thinking. It's not delusional optimism. No, Bible hope is based on reality. And that reality is on nothing but the Word of God. See, without reality, you're just a guesser, you're just a hoper, and in the end, you're going to be disappointed. Every one of us is going to be. And sadly, that's where a lot of people are in the world. A lot of people are struggling in life because they really don't know what to believe. They do not know what's true. A lot of people are struggling because most of the things that they've hoped in never panned out for them. Or turn out the way they think. There's a whole lot of people, because of their hope, that have been made to look like fools in the end. Why? Because they're hoping in the wrong things. They're believing in the wrong things. They're confident in the wrong things. And it's not working for them. And so if you're going to believe in something, then he says here, according to this, you're going to have some really good evidence for it. If you're going to believe in something, it's got to have some substance behind it. And that's where our faith comes from. In other words, what I'm telling you shouldn't believe anyone about anything without some really good evidence. I mean, I don't care who it is. Doctors, lawyers, politicians, the president, the Democrats. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But I mean, it don't matter. It's Hollywood. I mean, athletes, school teacher, even the preacher. I mean, we shouldn't just believe it because they say it, you know? But sadly, that's what a lot of people are doing. They're just believing what people are saying. I mean, that's why they get on Google. They believe everything that Google has to say. I mean, just we have a presidential hopeful, and he's out there, and he's saying that he's going to cure cancer. I'm sure he's going to get a lot of votes for that. But I don't know if I'd believe him. I don't think he's got the power. I don't think he's got the ability. It's not a true hope. So if you had, for you to have faith, a true faith, it's got to be accompanied with a true hope. You need some substance, some evidence. And that doesn't come through some observable phenomenon, you know. It comes from God. It comes from his word. And that doesn't mean you have to see the evidence. That wouldn't be hope. And if we had time, we'd go over to Romans chapter 8, 24. You could write that down or you could look at it. But it explains in that chapter what hope is. And the fact that we're saved by it, but it's something that we can't see. But I will say this, you have to have sufficient evidence, a bunch of evidence, to believe the thing that you're being told, or else you ought not waste your time hoping. And so I think that's pretty clear. Without substance and evidence, you ought not waste your time believing in, looking for, or waiting on whatever that is to come to pass. And whatever you've been told. And so where does our substance and our evidence come from? I'll tell you, nothing but the Word of God. I mean, that's why we're Bible believers here. That's why we believe the Bible. And that's where our hope springs from. And why? Because he's the God of hope. And he's given us hope through his Word. And so that's what we're longing for. That's what we're looking to. And it sees us through. In fact, that faith gives us a good report. Look what he says in verse 2. He says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And so by what? By faith. By faith. And that's what's going to give us a good report. Not by our works, but by our faith. Not the fruit of our faith, but the faith itself, our believing God and continuing to believe God, that creates a good report, the Bible says. And that's all what we all want, isn't it? Man, I always remember coming back from school and I wanted a good report card. And it was always bad, you know. And I just never did the work. I never did the study. And when I heard report cards came out, I always found a way to move away from the house, you know, and find myself at my cousin's and that stuff. I just never took it seriously. I was embarrassed. And so Paul's telling us we don't have to be embarrassed. We don't have to be ashamed. All we got to do is have faith. That's it. This isn't hard, friend. And so, in other words, it don't take intelligence. It doesn't take, doesn't matter what your sex is. It doesn't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your position in life, where you live, where you work, how smart you are, where you grew up. It just doesn't matter to God. And what matters is if you have faith. That's what God's designed us to live in. That's what he's called us to, a life of faith. And that's not something deep, and it's not something difficult. It's not something mysterious. You're going to see that as we go through the Bible. And it's just believing God and believing him at his word. And so do you have a strong confidence in God and what he said? I tell you, if you do, you can be great. God's going to use you. And so you're going to obtain a good report. Now, I'm not talking about taking my jersey and hanging up down at the Football Hall of Fame or in down there in Pennsylvania where it has the Cooperstown, I think it is, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame, you know, where you get a trophy and then you hang up your jersey. I'm not talking about that. We got something better. I mean, I just writing down something. I mean, believing God and looking to him and overcoming in this life, the Bible says that we're going to get a new, our name's going to be written in the book of life. That we're going to be given a white stone, a crown. We're going to be given a new name. We're going to get to eat of the tree of life, not being hurt of the second death, given power over the nations to rule with a rod of iron with our Lord Jesus Christ, walking with them in white in the garden. And having our name confessed before God and his angels, having been kept from the great tribulation, given a new name, a new hope. And you say, how? By faith. By believing God. By enduring in this life. And so he says, for by it the elders, and he's going to name a lot of them in this chapter, obtained a good report. By what? By having faith. Faith in God and his words concerning Christ. That's where our hope springs from. You can see why I love the book. I mean, it's just an awesome book. You're just going to see so many things. You're going to sit there and you're going to be like, ooh, it's not so strange to me now. And after we start going through this, and I just love what it's all about. It's about faith and hope and the God of hope. And it's full of so many illustrations that are so much fun to watch. And we was talking about it today, and we was just talking about the Old Testament stories. And just never get old, you know. Does it ever get old to hear somebody talk about David and Goliath, you know? And why? Because that's faith. And we're going to see that played out in this area. But this is what it's all about, and it's inspiring. And Paul's saying, look, I want you to hold fast to your profession. I want you to not reject the knowledge received, not to cast away the confidence that God's given us, to live by faith and that in his word, to go forward, not to draw back, to please God. And how? By faith. By faith. Look, we're not quitters. We're not failures. We're not dropouts. We're overcomers by faith in him. And so this is how we obtain a good report. This is how we please God. And so look at verse 3. He's going to start now, and he's going to begin to give us illustrations. And the first one, he's going to establish this faith thing, and it's really important one. Look at verse 3. He says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, you can mark this in your Bible, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You could underline that. See, he's going to begin to talk about the elders in this section. But here he first talks about God. And let me ask, when God created the heavens and the earth, how did he do it? Poured in this by faith, did he not? And so he walked up to the edge of this dark abyss and he said, let there be light. And the Bible says there was light. It must have been something. You know? I mean, if I was one of the angels, I'd be like, you know, what's he doing? You hear him speak and you're just watching. and just seeing it. And I believe this was probably the first act of grace too. You say, why? Because the earth was without form and void. And the Bible says God spoke into the darkness. And see, that's where hope begins, with God and Jesus speaking into the darkness. Now that will preach, you know? And so God had a vision of what he wanted to come about, and his speaking was the substance of it. And look at that last phrase again and what he says. So that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So the things which were seen were not made of the things which do appear. Did you catch that? We're going to read something, and you can mark this down, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And it goes quite well here. It's talking about Abraham and the making of Abraham a father of many nations. So if you remember that story, I mean, he was just having a hard time. He couldn't do it, you know, and his wife couldn't produce it either. And so it's really interesting that he believed in God, yet in spite of it. And it says this in verse 17, it says, speaking of God, who quickeneth the dead. This is who he believed in. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's faith. I mean, that's what God does. He goes around calling things that are not as though they were. That's why I'm a saint. You couldn't see it. I mean, there's no scientific proof to it. But this is what he said. This is what he did. This is by his own words what he made me, you see. And I believe it, just like Abraham. I mean, he was in all respects dead. He had no life. He had no ability to produce seed. And he didn't have one child to his name. And he said, you're Abraham. He's like, Abraham? I thought I was Abram. And he's like, no, you're Abraham. He's like, where's my child? He says, you're a father of many nations. And he said, okay, God. And he believed God. And how's God do that? He does it by his word. You see, his word is the reality, folks. And we can't create anything. Only God can do that. And he makes it and brings it about, that reality. And he does it by his spoken word. And so we're only called to believe what he says. That's what we're called to do. Just believe it. Just believe what God says. Get in there and believe it. Even when we can't see it, even when the reality isn't there, we're going to believe what God says despite what we can see or the reality that seems to be. That's how he made the worlds. The Bible says he spoke and made that which we see out of something which was not seen. This is huge. You've got to mark that. You got to remember that, because everything's going to be based on that as we go forward in the Christian life. Everything's going to be based on that as we look at some of these people here real quickly. And so this is the basis of faith. Faith to be faith has to be based on the unseen, not the unknown, but the unseen, not something that you guess at. You have evidence, but it's in the promise alone. And the evidence isn't seeing the reality. It's not in seeing some partial fulfillment of the faith. The evidence is the promise itself. And the evidence is the promise which becomes a sufficient basis, a sufficient substance for us to believe what God says and begin to anticipate the fulfillment, so that out of nothing will come something. It's just amazing. And so that's the reality that we as Christians are going to be living by. God's speaking. God's declaring. Not the things that we do, but the things that God has said. And God speaks it, and out of nothing's going to come something. And of course, we know that's true when it comes to our salvation, right? I mean, where did we get this righteousness? God spoke. And he told us. And so I've never seen the throne. I've never seen the blood that he shed for my salvation. I've never seen eternal life. And the things which are not as though they are. That's what the Bible says. He calleth the things which are not as though they were. And he expects us to live by it. Every one of us to live by it. Listen, if you have a hope of eternal life like the world does, that's nice, but it's not very comforting unless you use it the way the Bible does, right? I mean, see, the hope of eternal life can only be brought into present tense and be made real by faith. And you believe so strongly in God and what he's promised that it's as if all of God's promises were already fulfilled. And so we believe God creates something out of nothing. So do you believe it? I hope you do, you know, because when it comes to our salvation, we got to believe God created something out of nothing. It's what we're hoping in. That's what we're thinking about. That's what we're expecting. That's what our minds are set upon. All those things that are yet future can be made our reality right now if we would just believe God. And we won't turn there, but Romans chapter 8 talks about the resurrected body. And it really encourages us along that line that one day we're going to get a resurrected body. And so we're experiencing that, get a new body. I believe that. Now, I'll tell you, I've never seen that. I've never touched a resurrected body. I don't know if there's any science for a resurrected body and how it all works. You know, I don't know how he's going to bring all that back, you know, all the graves and the people out of it. I don't know how it's going to be accomplished. As far as I know, there's no scientific evidence available for it, but I'm waiting for it. I'm hoping in it. I'm believing. Now, how do I wait for something that's never been seen or never been proved? Well, God says he's going to do it. I mean, is that just that simple? He calleth those things which be not as though they were. And so that's the things which were made were not made of the things which appear. God said it. That settles it. I believe it. And so we know it's going to happen. We're going to be saved from this mess that we're in today. And that confidence that we're going to be resurrected from the dead makes dying as something of going to sleep in Jesus. You know, it's just something sweet. It's waking up into his presence. We don't fear that. We're no longer underneath the bondage of fear. Why? Because he's told us. He's told us what's going to take place. And if we didn't have that hope, we'd be like Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, where we'd say, we're of all men most miserable. Why? Because we could have been living it up in this world the whole time. I mean, drinking and smoking and, I mean, women and everything else. I mean, just giving it all. But you know what? We believe, don't we? We believe there's something more. We know what God has planned for us. We know what he's going to do. We know what we're living in light of. We know why we're denying ourselves in this life. And so how do we know? We know by faith. Our hope is a strong confidence of what God has said that brings it into reality. And so we just simply believe God at what he said. So that out of nothing will come something. So out of that which is not seen will in time come that which is seen. So let's look at some of these examples. We got about 10 minutes to do it. Can we get through it? I don't know. We'll check it out. So he says in Hebrews chapter 4, look, he's going to start off with Abel. He says, by faith, he's going to show us this, how it plays out. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaketh. So I want to get through these a little bit quicker, but I think it's interesting. You remember the story about Cain and Abel. It says that by faith Abel offered. Now you could say that they were offering what they had, but as you read, sometimes what you have is not enough, right? I mean, we see that because Cain's offering too. Abel's not the only one offering. So people think, I'll give God all that I got. And I'll give them my best. That's all I can give them. Well, no, according to this, God requires something more. Amen. What is that that's more? I mean, Cain's going to find that out, that he required something more. What's required? What's he want? It's faith. That's what he wants. See, they both know of their own sinfulness, which is amazing within itself. I mean, think of these two. This is Old Testament. I mean, how do they know this? I mean, I wonder how they could know that with the sinful nature. What would cause them to want to offer to God, to seek his favor, to find his forgiveness, to make confession? I mean, what would cause that to be? They knew their own sinfulness. They did. And they both offered gifts, sacrifices to God. In other words, they both hoped in something. But Abel's hope was accepted while Cain's was rejected. Why? Because he was hoping in the right things. He came to the right conclusions. He understood his sin before God, and he understood there's nothing that he could do to be accepted of God. And so he came. The only way he could know he could come is by faith, by a blood sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And he came to know that. I believe his parents told him about it. I believe they told him this is how, what God did. And when he took whatever it was, the lambs, oxen, whatever, and he slaughtered them before his eyes. So Abel did something because of his faith. And the Bible says it was more excellent. See that term all the way through the Bible. So what is it he did? He offered a blood sacrifice. He believed God concerning his sin. He came the way God wanted him to, by faith and in hope. And that blood sacrifice. And while Cain didn't, Abel was accepted, and the Bible says Cain wasn't. It probably didn't make any sense to Cain. I mean, I've got this fruit. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm going to give. I'll give him the best that I have. And I mean, he's just going to have to be thankful for it. I don't know what he said. But I mean, it's just funny. But when you look at sinners today out there, I mean, you tell them, you say, look, it's the only way you can come is through the blood. And they say, I'll come another way. Amen. I'm going to go down an aisle. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have the priest pray for me. I'm going to do something for this. You can't do anything for this. God wanted something more. He wanted faith, and he offered Cain the opportunity, even after, I believe, to do well. He gave him a choice, and he continually chose not to believe. I mean, in the Bible says that Abel obtained a witness. God testified of his gifts. He obtained a witness that he was righteous. Something God did with that offering that made it known that God accepted it, and Cain didn't. And he was angry. And could you imagine him speaking day after day? Cain, because they talked to each other. Cain, man, you can offer. You can still offer. And I mean, just got mad. Have you ever talked to sinners? They just don't want to hear it. They want to just get rid of you. You know? And they did. He killed Abel, but the Bible says that he yet speaketh, and we're reading about him today, huh? Reading about his faith. Look at verse 5 real quick. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So this is a great short biography of Enoch. The Bible says that he walked with God in Genesis 5. And after he begat Methuselah, you know, that's when he began to really see it. Oh, I just have these kids. Boy, I really need help, you know. And so he begins to walk with God. And the Bible says he was not, for God took him. So friend, that's called the rapture. Enoch experienced the rapture in his day, that he wouldn't see death. And why? Because he had this testimony. The Bible says that he pleased God. Now, he's going to explain that in the next verse, but he said that if he pleased God. And so what a testimony. He walked with God. We're going to see he walked by faith. People probably talked about Enoch. Man, he's a great man. And Enoch, he really believes. He's out there preaching, the seventh from Adam, you know, and he's preaching, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. That's what Jude tells us he's preaching. And that he's going to execute judgment. He's going to convince all ungodly sinners of their ungodly ways, of their ungodly deeds, and their ungodly, I don't know, I can't remember all, but it's ungodly. Everything's ungodly, you know, I mean, that's what he's saying. And they're like, oh, you know, they're just blown away. But he believed, didn't he? He walked by it. He looked forward to it. He was living in light of that. And God took him at 365 years old. He didn't die a natural death. So God told him he wasn't going to see death. He believed God. He didn't see the reality until God translated him. But he believed God's word, and God took him. And so the reality was the word of God. That was it. That's what he hoped in. And do you believe God? Are you walking in faith? Do you know God's given us the same promise? Did you know that he's promised us that we've got a blessed hope? And that one day he's going to take us up and out of here before that great day of his wrath. We're going to be, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I long for it. I wait for him to come again, you know. I'm living in light of it. It's a hope. I was telling him today, I'm not looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. I got to hope he could come at any moment. This is how it's got to be, guys. Why? Because look at verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So that's what these two men had. They had a testimony of faith. And so each of them, one offered a right sacrifice by faith. The other was raptured by faith. Are you see how important faith is? Without faith, it's impossible to please them. Without faith, there's no relationship with them. Again, faith is the thing that gives us life and it gives us breath in our relationship with God. And these men believed God. They came to God. They looked to him as the source of their reward, the source of their fulfillment, the source of blessing. And God, the Bible says, was pleased. In other words, it wasn't about them. It was about him. And being aware of him, looking to him, his righteousness, his glory, his judgments, his love, his desires, his living like and believing there's no righteousness outside of his shed blood. You know, and that we're not better, we'll never be better, but our hope is in him, in his forgiveness that he gives. Listen, we just believe God. We believe he's a rewarder. You know, I believe that. He's in the business of reversal of fortunes. You know, this world exalts and promotes people who don't believe God. They put them before athletes, movie stars, all these people, singers and politicians and the rich and the famous. And there's 10,000 sinners out there to envy in this generation. It's easy to see how wonderful life could be if you could only do this, right? Be this. But you got to remember there's another side to it. And so what the world exalts and promotes isn't always reality. A majority of these people are without hope. See, the world only shows the enticing features of them. What they don't see is the drunkenness, the divorces. They don't glamorize that. The depression, the pills that they're on and they're taking left and right because they don't have any hope. They don't have any peace. And the fact that they're dying and dead. And sometimes you think they're succeeding and happy because of how the world plays it off. Don't give in to the lies. Don't believe in the lies, you know. They're hoping in the wrong things. And if they're not hoping in Jesus, and their prosperity is going to come to the end. But the hope of every believer, the Bible says, is sure. It's steadfast. And it dictates how we live our life, raise our families, use our finances, interact with others, do our job, views our success. Look, I'm not living for myself anymore. I'm living for him. I'm believing him. I'm waiting on him. And so I'm following him. And so, I mean, you've got so many people who testify of this. And Abraham was one of them. And we could talk about so many stories. We'll talk about him in a second. But Joseph was another one. I mean, you think it all ended up bad. He actually got to sit on the throne. He got to see his dream in this world. And so Naomi, she came home bitter. But after hoping in God, boy, I tell you what, everything changed, didn't it? And so same with Daniel. And how about Job for a reversal of fortunes? I mean, he just believed God, lost everything that he had and got it back. I don't know. What was it? Fourfold or whatever it was. It's just amazing. So let's just look at maybe one or two more at least. And you'll like these. He says, by faith, Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. I want you to mark those words. That's faith. See, they didn't see the reality. Noah didn't see the reality. All he heard was the word of God. He was told the word of God. He says, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So remember, Noah hoped in God when he hoped in a coming judgment. And the Bible says, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And you'll see that again and again in this chapter. You'll just underline these phrases and you'll see how the nature of faith is, the nature of hope. It's something that they did not see, but that something they believed God in concerning a promise that he gave of a coming judgment. We've got the same promise, friend, in 2 Peter chapter 3 of this coming judgment. And just like they did. And the Bible says it moved him to fear. That's a good thing. We're trying to get people not to fear. Look, that was a good thing. It moved them to fear. And the Bible says that he prepared an ark. And now God could have showed him. God could have said, okay, Noah, let's go up. And I'm going to demonstrate this for you, Noah. this is what I'm going to do. So he's like, come up to the top of the mountain. Okay, here we go. Here it goes. You ready now? Waters break forth and just all over him on this mountain. He's running and he's going, he's swinging on a branch and he's like, okay, I got it, God. And he jumps down off the tree, goes back down and says, okay, boys, we got to get building an ark. I mean, he could have showed them what it's going to be like. He didn't. He told them. The Bible says, having warned of God things not seen of yet. And the Bible says he did it. He did it. And so it moved him. You see the evidence? It's in the word of God alone. It's in the speaking of God. He believed God. He lived in hope and he was rewarded in the end. He had to wait 120 years, but that hope was honoring to God. It made him righteous. It made him righteous, the fact that he believed God. And you say, but what about building an ark? Well, I mean, it saved his family here and now, didn't it? It moved him to do something here and now, that belief that he had. And it condemned the world in the process. I mean, could you imagine what was going on with Noah? I mean, as he was building and he was preaching and the ridicule that he got and all that he was going through and the people that were seeing him and just making fun of him. Noah, what are you doing? I mean, you really think that it's going to rain? I mean, you really think there's going to be a flood? I mean, we don't live in Barberton. I mean, obviously. But it must have been glorifying to God. It must have been something to the angels and say, man, he's preaching. He's preaching righteousness. Look at him, Lord. And I heard somebody say, what is this? Man, he just keeps going. They just keep coming at him, keep coming at him. He doesn't have any proof. He's building this big ark in the middle of the land of nowhere, you know? And he just kept believing God. And in the end, he was rewarded. He was right. Guys, we're going to be right in the end as long as we're just believing him. I mean, as long as we're taking him at his word. I just wish I had time to get into this. I really do. I wish we had time to get to the end of it. All the promises. Working all things together for our good. But it doesn't seem like it. I mean, right now we know somebody, her husband's into pornography. He's done horrible things to her, I mean, just like, it just doesn't look good. But you know what? God's working it all together for her good. She's just got to believe it. It's hard though, isn't it? But God said it. I'm going to live in light of it. I'm going to believe God. If God be for me, who can be against me? You know? And so this is how they lived. And then could we do one more? Maybe just one more. He says this in verses 8 and 12. Look at what he says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Do you notice the underline that? Not knowing whither he went. Isn't that amazing? So this is the element of faith, the nature. And it says, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered with a child when she was past age, because you could underline this. She judged him faithful that had promised. That's faith. That's faith. She judged him faithful. And look at that promise. He promised it. I believe. And she received strength because therefore sprang there even one and him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And so look, you look at Abraham and Sarah, they hoped in God. They hoped in him for a land, they hoped for a city, and they hoped for a seed, the Bible says. That's children. And it says, Abraham, Sarah believed God, verse 8, and that which was not seen, and they went out looking for a place that God had shown them. You see the nature of that? I mean, God called them out of Ur of Chaldees, this heathenistic city, and he says, go to a place that I show you. And you'd be like, okay, where is that? I told you, a place that I'm going to show you. Okay, could you point me the direction? It's a place that I'm going to show you. And he went. He went. Verse 9 says that they sojourned in the land of promise. By the way, it's still the land of promise. It's still the land that God promised to the Jews. And he's going to continue to fulfill that promise that he gave them. But it was the land of promise. And so he was a sojourner. He was a pilgrim, a stranger, an alien in this land of promise. Meaning God didn't give it right away. He didn't have it. He was walking all over it, but it wasn't his. And his little kids were telling other little kids, this is my dad's land. And the other little kids were like, yeah, right. I mean, where's your title? Where's your deed? Show me. Evidence. I want to see something. Well, God said it's our land. It's ours. I mean, and there must have been some argument. You know what? It's theirs. It's theirs. And look at what he says in verse 10. He says, they looked for a city whose foundations and builder and maker is God. Could you imagine that? I mean, he's looking over for a city. Just go over the mountain and he's like, okay, boys, come on up here. Dad, where's that city? You look over and I see one. Look down there. That man built that one. And then they're walking a little further. Come on, Dad. Well, look at that one. Man built that one. And he kept going and he kept looking, you know. And so here's man sojourning everywhere. This is his land, looking for a city. And then he tells them in verses 11 and 12, through faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered. And when she was past age, because she judged him faithful, who promised. And so this is what they did. That is, he was a father of many nations, and he didn't even have a kid to his name. But the Bible says that Sarah judged God faithful as promised. That's what faith is. Judge him faithful. God faithful, that promise. And so even after years of not seeing the reality, of wondering, of trying to take Abraham saying, okay, here, God, here's Eliezer, take Eliezer. I mean, he's the hope. And God's like, no, it's coming through Sarah. Years later, he believed God. When they're past age, past ability, they would believe God. He wouldn't stagger. Even when he messed up and he doubted and he made a mess of things in his life, he came back to the promise. He believed God and laughed. And they got a little twinkle and went together and they had a beautiful eyes pop up, you know. And so that's faith. That's faith. And so it's believing God and continuing to believe God as his promise. Even though we're not able to see the promises fulfilled in this life, we still believe. We know God's not going to let us down. And Abraham didn't see all the realities, but he will. And neither did all the rest. But they will. And I just want to say this last one and we'll be done. I want you to look because I want you to see the element. It's really cool. It says in verse 13 of this chapter, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. You see, faith. You're believing in something that you've never seen. And sometimes you die that way. But you believe. And it does something in your soul. But having seen them afar off, listen to this. Look at it, you can mark this. They were, number one, persuaded, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. So they were persuaded of the promises. In other words, God promised, produced a persuasion in them. The promise itself created faith, and they embraced the promises. And that's the natural result of being persuaded is to embrace something, to adapt it as your guiding light in life. And to steer your life by that truth. And he says they confessed them. So that's something that was not fulfilled completely in this life. They had faith in the unseen reality promised by God, walking around saying, I'm Abraham. You're like, you don't even have a kid. I'm Abraham. I'm a saint. I'm a new creature. I'm free from sin. I'm sitting in the heavenlies. One day I'm going to have a new body. I'm an heir of God. I'm a priest. I'm a king. I don't see it. Oh, God's called me. That's exactly what I am. One day you will. One day you will. And they believed it. And it says in verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And that's a heavenly country. And he says, verse 15, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. And so he says, but now they desire a better country that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So just check this out and coming down now. What's a hope they were looking to? It was the afterlife. And they were mindful of that. They were living in light of that. They were living in light of the promises. That's what they were focused on. That's what they were mindful of every day. So if God's called you out of this world of sin and you're seeking another country, don't become mindful of the old one. Don't fill your mind with all the worldly movies and all the worldly music and all the worldly women or whatever it might be. Don't mind the old ones because you might return. He said, had they been mindful of it. That's why he says to set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. That's why he talks about in Philippians about the mind. And he talks about those things that be true and pure and lovely and all these different things. And so anyways, we're going to end there. But I want you to see that God is not ashamed. He's not ashamed, it says in this verse. And God is not ashamed to be called their God. Not ashamed to be called their God. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those who just believe him. Just believe him. Do you believe God tonight? You know the promises? Makes you want to pick up one of those promise books, don't it? And start claiming the promises that God has already made real. It's just a matter of time, friend. And he's going to see you through. Going to see you through. He's worth it, you know. There's a great reward at the end. But you got to believe. You got to believe. And that's what he wants you to do. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that sat before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him. Will you consider him tonight? Everything you do. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for all that you've given. I pray that God, you would just bless the people here. Encourage them, Lord. And Lord, it's just been a long day, a long night, but there's precious promises that you've given us. May our hearts be turned upwards. Our minds be stayed on you, God, looking at the promises, believing in the promise, living in light of them, telling others about them. And it's enticing, you know. I'm the one in whom Jesus loves. What did you say? I want to be one of those. And God, help us to be testifying of you and to get others seeing and believing those promises. In Jesus' name, amen.